Radio.
I like putting the headphones on. Do you like putting headphones on?
Yes, I do. It makes you sound a lot better.
Yeah. I sound good.
It's a cheat. And when you sing and they put like lots of reverb on it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
Sounds like the voice of God. As...
See, I started my new career as a songwriter, and I don't even know how to bar. Do you think that's detrimental?
Well, you just play what they call cowboy chords.
Yeah. I'm like the Johnny Cash of idiots.
You got another guitar player. He knows how to do the tricky stuff.
Yeah, he's doing the tricky stuff. Although I just got a bunch of solo gigs.
That's nerve-wracking, huh? I guess you're used to it.
You can... Yeah, play with fiddle it with it as much as you want. I have it here in case
someone
it applies.
Like, just go, someone can pick it up.
A lot of times,
you know, this bit that goes like this.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was like, you know, Dylan had it like this, but I changed it.
Too. Oh man, can we have that kind of conversation? I don't know anything about it.
I'm not a musicologist either. So.
Yeah, but what did I just say? See, you're going to run into this a lot because I've been drinking all day. What did I say?
Well, you didn't get stoned, though, did you? You've just been drinking this.
No, just drinking for 40 years.
What?
do you ever, like, because I know, what we could cut whatever you want out of this, but I know you do some drugs. And does that help you in the writing process at all?
No,
in the future.
Like upon occasion it has. There have been times, like I can say that I was listening to something at like 3 a.m.
yeah.
while on drugs, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Note to self, do something like
that. Do you write notes to self when you're on drugs, or do you just note?
Yes, I might. Yes, I do.
Because I do that. I do that. I have so many pages while I'm drinking of notes and just writing shit, and every few pages at the bottom it says, quit writing, you're drunk.
But that's why you're a songwriter, see?
Yeah, I am a songwriter, right?
Yes, you are. It's true. And I think often in a band, it's the weakest musician who's the strongest songwriter.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. Because it's just a different thing. Because it's just a different, it's a different skill.
Yeah, that's...
some people who are like from an early age are like, I am going to be an amazing guitar player. I'm going to be such a good musician. I'm going to go to Berklee College of Music, and it's like that's which is all very well,
right?
But it's a different thing from like wanting to write songs.
That's so true because you know I think about the guitarist in the band. Michael Ruggilio, who's great, he's amazing, but I don't think he's ever written a song. And I'd be like, holy shit, I would be writing so many songs if I were you.
Right.
But then also I always think that the more I learn about structure and everything, the more it inhibits me from just really writing kind of interesting songs.
I don't know anything. I mean, I don't know. I've never read like books on songwriting or...
Well, just
yeah. I don't know if, and I look
just
at
the more chord, you know, the more like chords I know, and
right.
I feel like I'm writing more conventional songs, which isn't also bad. But
yeah,
I'm a broken record on this podcast. This is what I keep.
This is what you say all the time.
Yeah,
but it's true though. I mean, if you're right, I mean,
I like to get like, your point of view. Though.
Rock, you know, if it's the rock and roll, it's folk music kind of. It's pretty simple, and the chords are pretty simple.
Yeah, people always ask what my style is. Is that a tough question?
That's
to
a
answer?
Tough question. That is always and still to oh, like what does it sound? What's your music like?
Yeah,
like,
I go clang 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 clang.
Yes, I usually tell people it's classic rock. Because in a way it is.
I know. It has a different connotation.
Yeah,
it sounds funny.
Yeah.
I write classic rock.
That doesn't get played on classic rock radio.
So you've had like two big bands, Galaxy 500 and
Luna.
And do you find that...
Or two small bands, depending on who you're... asking. Yeah. But yes, we both bands
people
have
love.
We have fans.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Not no gold records. Have you been to the house? Have you seen? I hit all the gold records.
Well, you haven't invited me to the new house yet.
No,
I think you'd put them out for that.
I would put them out.
Yeah.
You know, I met, I got to meet Mr. Lee Hazelwood one time. I did an interview with him.
Yeah.
Like, just like you and I right now.
Yeah.
Sitting there drinking in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if
this is late for me.
Yes. If he's going to have one, I'm going to have one. What was I talking about? How'd I get
Lee Hazelwood, if you guys could.
Oh, gold records.
Oh, gold
records. Yes, I was like, where are the gold records? The only one he had still was Billy Ray Cyrus's album, which had a cover of These Boots Made for Walking.
He wrote that?
Yeah, Lee Hazelwood did, yes.
Oh, okay.
And if you calculate, but I don't know what Billy Ray Cyrus had sold, like 7 million times 9 cents per. And so. He was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah. Jesus.
But he'd given away most of his.
Have you been covered a lot?
A lot of people have done like Tugboat by Galaxy 500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not about me, right? Tugboat? Because you've been to my parties and you've talked to my friends. And
I don't want to stay at your party. I don't want to talk to
you
your friends.
You always hang out enough.
I don't want to vote for your president.
But you don't want to be my tugboat, I don't think.
I don't want to be your tugboat captain. That sounds... could be fun.
Oh, well. So my question was going to be, do you find yourself writing differently for Luna than you did for Galaxy 500? Or was it just a change of people and smells?
I found myself singing differently. I don't know. It's different. It's different every time. I'm not someone who gets up every day and writes songs.
Yeah.
I tend to do it when there's a deadline, when it's like, oh, the band is supposed to make an album in October. So I was like, oh, shit.
So did the honeymoon period taper off, or was there ever a honeymoon period of like writing songs? There must have been, right? Like a surge.
You know, I feel like a couple of years ago, right before I moved to Los Angeles, I did two albums at once. That was prolific for me. I'm not prolific. I don't really have these surges, but I found myself working on two records at once.
Yeah.
So that got me busy. You know what? I have to say, since I moved to Los Angeles, I've been here almost 4 years.
You're more laid back now.
I've written two songs.
Yeah. We're in it's LA now, man.
It's the damn weather.
Nice. Yeah.
It is. I think it is, because when it rains, it's like, oh, today would be a nice day to sit in.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so sunny here. That's why I go to bars so often, because I want to feel like it's raining.
Right.
And New York bars, it's interesting. They have like windows. They'd have magnifying glasses to like pinpoint the sun into your eyes if they could.
Right.
Because they love the sun in New York, because they hardly get it. But in LA, it's just a cave. We go there to hide from the sun, you know?
That's a good idea.
It's where the poets go,
maybe I should
man.
Do that.
Yeah. The poets and the old
I know,
grumpy guys.
I should.
And I'm both.
Yeah. I know I should get up in the morning, and that should be the first thing that I do. But anyway.
There's no should. You got to live life, too.
Yes, that's true.
It's all research.
Yeah.
That's what I tell myself. When I'm not working, I'm researching.
Yeah.
Well, I'm jacking off.
The last two. Well, there's that too. Yeah,
that's
the last. The last two records I'm working on are all covers. That's much easier. The other people have written the words already.
Great.
And the
this
melody.
This is a songwriting podcast.
But you get to pick good songs.
Right. Right.
Well, you know what I did?
I wonder if that in bringing. Okay, I cut you off.
What I came to like was like the albums I've made with Britta. We would do half and half, like five covers, five originals.
Yeah,
because it's actually like five songs in a year. That's a nice manageable amount.
Yeah,
that's like yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, I haven't done five songs in a year for a while. Like most of my songs now that I have collected have been like from the 90s. You know.
So are you writing? Are you writing words and music?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing it probably since like the late 80s. And I had a real like surge period around then, late 80s, early 90s. And then I got married and fucking everything stopped. And but so I'd write a couple songs a year. Now I'm getting back into it and writing more because I'm excited and yeah, I'm never going to make money on it. So
right.
that keeps me going too.
But that's the thing. It sounds like you're excited to get up in the morning and sit down and work on a song.
Yeah.
That's lucky, because that's so often you hear writers talking, whether it's novelists or songwriters, just talking about how difficult it is to just sit down and begin to do it, just start the process.
Well, right. Well, I'm lucky in that way, but I'm also not lucky because I'm getting paid right now to write a pilot, and it's five months
it's
overdue.
It's suffering.
Yeah. I'm not even thinking about it. no one's called me, luckily. So I'm just going to coast off that for a while. But
they won't make you give the money back.
No, if they do, I'll just write a shitty pilot.
Yes.
and just pretend it was good.
But, well, what's more difficult, writing a pilot or writing a song?
Well, right now, writing a pilot, because that's what I have to do.
Yes.
If someone said you have to write a song for this show, that would take me 3 years. I think.
What if they gave you a topic? I always think if someone gives you a topic, like, here, well, write a song about this, that banana tree.
My friend and I used to give ourselves titles.
Right.
And that really helped.
Well, that's a good way. I mean, I think if you listen to Mike Bob Dylan talk about songwriting, because he knows a thing or two.
Yeah.
But he knows how to borrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think one of his tricks is just take a line or two from something else.
Right.
And then write your own song, beginning with those lines or that title or...
Exactly. There was a... when I took a poetry class as a blow-off in college, but one of what we had to do was look through a book and find lines we liked, and just put lines from different books together and make a poem out of that. And I remember one line, because I've since put it in a song. It's made up of like four different books, but it was the moment you rubbed the blade of a leaf, that's when my resurrection knelt on the steps.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah. So I put that in a goddamn song. I probably ripped off four great writers.
But, you know, one of my favorite writers right now is this guy, Ben Lerner, who's a poet, but he's written a couple of novels now. And he talks, one of his thinly veiled autobiographical novels is about a poet living in Spain some kind of exchange program thing. Anyway, and his method for writing poetry, which is to take a classic line and just change one word or...
Right.
So like the word might be cello, and said he'll change that to cielo.
Right. To be or not to live.
Yeah.
That would be good. So this cover album... Do you think...
All right, well, I've got... There's two. There's one I'm doing, which is with my friend Chris Porpora.
Is this the country?
Yeah, this is like... I was thinking like more Western as opposed to country. So I
what picked, what is the difference? You want to play a little?
Well, I guess... yeah, I mean, I guess... Well, I was picking songs from, like, Hollywood Westerns.
Oh.
I think Westerns. So, also, like, Marty Rock, like, cowboy songs.
Right. I think of that as country.
Yeah, I guess some of it is, but...
But I don't know. Like, when I hear country Western, to me, that's shit, right? Well, country is Hank Williams. Country Western is that guy with... The guy who gets up...
Well, maybe I need...
Garth Brooks. Yeah.
Maybe I need to think it then, but rethink it. But
I'm not right.
Well, I'm thinking like Marty Robbins.
Yeah. You're right. It's probably just either country or either Western, but when you put them both together, then it's shit, I think.
Did you have that album of Marty Robbins, Gunfighter Ballads? And
What's on that is Man Walks Among Us.
El Paso.
You know that
Man Walks Among Us is not on that album, I don't think, but that's a great song. That's the one Jonathan Richman covered.
That's how
When Jonathan Goes Country.
Yeah, yeah. That's like one of my favorite.
Yeah.
When I met Jonathan, I'm like, sorry, but one of my favorite songs of yours is a cover right now.
Yeah.
But he was happy. He was happy about it.
I have done the song A Bend in the River, which is another kind of obscure
do you want to play
Robbins
a little
song. Let's see if I could. I don't think I know the words. Past the first bend in the river lies another bend I can't find. I don't know it well enough. And the bend that keeps calling is the bend that keeps calling to me. Anyway, it's
nice. I got the gist of it, and you got to use the guitar.
Yes, yeah, some cowboys being out there. Actually, a lot of these songs, I'm realizing, a lot of the cowboy songs, they're about being out there, you know, herding cattle, being lonely,
right.
The campfire, cleaning your gun or whatever. But but what they're really about, there's often like a twist. What they're really about is escaping that rotten cowboy life and hopefully settling down and falling in love. It seems like...
Yeah. And until they fall in love, then they're going to write the opposite.
Yes.
Which is what I write about.
the other one I did is...
I want to be a cowboy.
My Rifle, My Pony, and Me.
Yeah.
From, I think it's from Rio Grande. And Ricky Nelson.
So all these songs have been in movies, huh?
Yeah, you know, the ones I picked. And then my friend, cool. he picked more like Dylan, Towns Van Zandt.
Well, Dylan's been in some of his songs have been in movies.
That's true.
Knocking on Heaven's Door, right? Wasn't that in...
That was in Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, right? Yeah, that's a great... You know what? I was just listening to that last night because all my CDs arrived from New York and I was like, that's one of my favorite Dylan albums. And,
yeah.
And he's in the movie, too.
I read a Facebook post by John Darnielle of the Mountain Goats, and he said, you know, I love this song, but why? It's really, writing-wise, one of his simpler songs,
right.
Knocking on Heaven's Door.
And why has it become so massive?
Yeah, and it's just a classic progression that's
yes,
really pleasing.
Yes, so many songs have that. And
yeah, yeah. Do you think it's going to influence your writing, like doing this cover and just being immersed in all this Western?
I don't know. Like I said, I've only written two songs in the last 4 years. So it influenced my writing. And then I was like, oh, I kind of enjoy doing this, interpreting other people's songs.
Yeah.
And so now we're doing a Luna album that's been all covers also.
Oh, right.
But not Westerns. That's this one's...
Well, just do them all with a twang.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you're from New Zealand. That's kind of the Wild West, right?
It's true.
I just saw Hunt for the Wilder People.
I haven't seen that one.
Is oh,
that
you, near? Oh, you should. You're from there.
Is it my people?
You're from there. They're your people.
Yeah. New Zealand is a frontier nation. It's true. It's well, it was not anymore so much.
It's got a lot of trees. Right?
It's got a lot of trees. They say the back in World War I times, that's about 100 years ago, exactly, actually.
Yeah.
That the New Zealand soldiers were some of the toughest.
Really? That's New Zealand was in the war?
That's well.
Were they in World War II, too, also?
I'm sure they sent a few people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's that whole Gallipoli thing. You've heard the story.
Oh, Gallipoli. Well, that's Australia.
Yes, both. It's the ANZACs, Australia-New Zealand Army Corps.
So okay.
They send them both over there.
Right.
But anyway, the British sent they're them, used right? to, like, you know, building fences and digging things anyway, because it was...
Right, yeah. So they're good. They're good grunt,
yeah, they don't,
grunt guys.
They don't complain.
Yeah. You got out the
Fools.
Fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
When did you leave?
I left in... I left New Zealand in 1970, moved to Australia, and then came to New York in 1977.
And
I still talk funny.
But did you... When did you start the band?
I started the band. Well, I started a band the year I graduated high school. It was called Speedy and the Castanets.
Uh-huh.
Going into college, and we didn't know how to play. We were pretty terrible, but you know, we had what songs did we have? Back to Beirut, which was very ahead of its time. Take Me Back, Back to Beirut.
Wow. Were you? Who were you
where
influenced
by? Where the girls are cute. Like the Cramps, the Clash, the Sex Pistols.
I was gonna say Clash because it sounds like a Clash song.
Yeah. Only it was kind of a comic one, but yes, I was one at that age. I don't know if you remember the slogan about the Clash was the only rock and roll band that matters or something. I was one of those, like, this is like the greatest band ever.
And when did you get into Velvet Underground?
Well, actually, kind of around the same time in high school too. Yeah, my older brother had that Lou Reed, that Transformer album.
Yeah.
And then
years later, you meet Lou Reed, and you're friends with him.
Yes, he was always nice to me. I don't know. I mean, we didn't go out to dinner or anything. But
how did that happen?
Well, I think, you know, we covered one of his songs, which is an interesting thing. Sometimes I think you cover someone's song, actually, you pop up on their radar and they become aware of you.
So yeah,
we did a cover of Ride Into the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, Lou knew the drummer who had played with him, produced our album too. So maybe that's how.
And he liked the cover.
Yeah, he liked Luna. And so he when they did that VU tour, the reunion tour, we did 3 weeks in Europe opening for them.
And then refresh my memory, when you did the Warhol songs, did you write songs for that?
We did. We did a couple of covers, but mostly we wrote songs. Yeah. Yes. But we did, this is the Andy Warhol screen test show that I did with my wife, Britta, where we wrote songs or sometimes instrumentals for these silent portrait films by Warhol. And one of the figures was Lou Reed.
Drinking a Coke.
Drinking a Coke. And we were looking at that, and I was like, how am I going to write a song for or about or to go alongside
this? About an uncomfortable guy who couldn't just sit there.
Yeah. But fortunately, right then, this bootleg popped up on the internet called "I'm Not a Young Man Anymore," which was like a half-finished, song that the Velvet Underground had done in the very year that the screen test was filmed, 1966. And I was like, "Oh, this works."
Did you finish it?
There's only two lyrics in the song. No, we didn't need to.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not a young man anymore. I've got 5 nickels in my pocket. I want to get me some more. That's it. Which we can see why they never recorded it. It was just like a live. Hey, we're going to do this live, and then they're like, "Oh, we're not going to."
Well, one of the most brilliant covers you did was—is it? I mix up some of his songs, but "Don't Let Our Youth Go to Waste."
Because
he never put music to that.
Yes,
right, and then you put music to Jonathan Richman.
Yeah, Jonathan Richman's is—it's just this a cappella recording of him that Kim Fowley made.
Yeah,
and it's less than a minute long, I think, and we listened to that and I'm like, well, what if we just started playing one chord behind that and just thrashing along behind it, and then we put in a second chord. It broke down, put in a D minor, and that's a good moment in it. But and then we turned it into like an 8-minute jam.
It's great.
And it turned out great, and I think I remember like recording the guitar overdubs, the guitar solo, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm completely lost. But then I came back and sat down and listened to it. I'm like, wow, this sounds great.
Yeah.
Sometimes things just happen
by
accident. But we did get to meet Jonathan Richman, went and saw him play and handed him the album with that cover on. And I was like, this is your song. Don't Let Our Youth Go to Waste. I heard it off this bootleg. He's like, I know where you heard it. Kim Fowley is a very nice man, but he's also a fucking asshole.
Yeah. That's what he said. I've heard. Yeah, he does not like that album. He doesn't like that it's out
there. He doesn't like that there.
Yeah.
It's true.
I love everything he does.
Yeah, it's great. It's these all these alternate versions of stuff from his first album.
Yeah. I just got a CD from, I think it was just sent from England, which is like him circa 1988 doing like a summer festival. And he talks a lot and he's really funny. It's just a concert with him. Like, I'll lend it to you.
He's so great and live.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get. But.
Well, that's what he says about recording. He's like, I still haven't gotten the hang of recording. I'm much better live.
Yeah. But I listen to Jonathan Richman records, some of those early ones where it's kind of stripped down. It sounds kind of ramshackle, but I don't know. I think they worked really hard on making those records sound good.
He definitely tried.
It's all about where people are placed in the room, because it all feels very live.
Well, the modern lover is live, right? I'm thinking of Rock and Roll with the Modern Lovers.
Oh yeah,
where it sounds like he's in a bathroom, and he might well be.
Right.
That one, I like those songs, but I wish they were recorded a little better, to tell you the truth.
Which one did you say, Rockin' and Romance?
No, I like Rock and
Roll. Rock and Roll. That's got like Ice Cream Man, Reggae. Egyptian Reggae. Yeah, yeah. That's a great one.
They're all good songs. Yes. I just wish there wasn't all that echo.
Right.
I really feel like he was in a shower or something for that. I mean, I think I might have heard that he was. I don't know. But how do you feel about, this isn't about songwriting, but like recording, do you feel like you're better in the studio or better live?
It's a completely different thing. You know, the studio is exciting. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there are times in the studio where a song goes from being one thing, and then in the space of 30 minutes or an hour, it completely transforms.
Yeah.
Often just because of something somebody else plays, and it could just be a jingle.
Yeah, it's
bell
more
or something.
Meditative in the studio.
Yeah,
right. So, like you're more instinctual, kind of in a live.
Well, and then that with the live thing, I don't know. I guess you know what you're doing. The song's done already, and
yeah,
Luna plays live. It's good. It's fun because the people who are very excited to see us. So that's a good. It's a completely different thing from when it was when I was starting out and people heckling college boy.
Right. Yeah. No. It must be amazing to just go out and having just people gasp.
Yes.
But now you have the luxury of going out with a new song and just trying it live. Do you ever do that?
We do sometimes. It's always, it's more difficult. It's a struggle to play. It's more difficult to play new songs that people don't know.
Yeah,
people,
right.
I'm sure people are happy to hear it. But
I bet even fans aren't open to new songs as much as they just want to hear the...
Yeah.
I get mad at Dylan for playing his old songs where I don't even understand.
You don't recognize him until like two-thirds of the way through, and you're like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, like a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
I literally spent a whole song trying to figure out what that song was, and it was his most famous one.
Yeah, he's good at that.
you're being nice.
Yeah.
He's good at being bad.
Yeah, it can be. It's
he's just a contrarian.
Being infuriating. And I understand, if you've sung, and he spends a lot of the year on the road, right?
Yeah.
Just the number of times he's sung, "It's All Right, I'm Only Bleeding."
So he's got to be bored.
I'm going to mess with this. But
are you bored with any of your songs?
Yes, some of them. But I do have to watch that, that tendency to start messing with the melody just because you've heard it so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And I think,
there's a fine line.
I love Lou Reed too, but seeing him do his songs live, you get the sense he's tired of singing the melody, so he's going to do something else, and it's just
it's not satisfying at all.
Yeah,
but then there's it's a fine line because you don't want to go there and just hear the record too,
right?
So yeah, have you written songs with Britta?
Yes,
I have.
I guess usually one or the other of us writes the lyrics.
Yeah. Do you like working with people?
That's a good question, isn't it?
I guess it depends on the person.
I need to work with people. I'm not talented enough to do it all by myself.
You know what?
I can write the bare bones of a song, but I need people to help me flesh things out.
I could flatter you and say no, but I feel the same way too. I'm much better when collaborating, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, absolutely.
I think that's a talent in itself, to be able to work with people and get what you need out of them and then spit out what you don't like.
Yes. But, I don't have any idea. I wouldn't really know what to tell a drummer other than, maybe I don't like that or I don't like this. But then, so Britt is better at that.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to to my like people who know music.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing I could say. Sometimes I'll try and they'll look at me and say, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, there's a quiet part now.
But my friend Jason Quiver, who's a record producer, he says he feels that part of his job is to help translate from, you know, like a songwriter who doesn't know how to express himself to like musicians too, you know. So
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Do you want more liquor?
Oh, no, I think that was a good shot. I'm enjoying it.
I'm just being a host. I don't feel like you need it, and I don't feel like you're too drunk either. I just want you to know.
Just drunk enough.
All right, good. is there, because, you know, I mean, I'm influenced by a lot of different people, and I'll look at a song and I'll say, wow, I wish I wrote that song.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a ton out there, of course. But right. Is there like one specific one that you're like, that is like, I wrote it and now I can't ever write it?
One? You mean one of mine?
No. Somebody else's song that you're like, God damn it.
I wish I could do that. Yeah.
That song was written by me, only it wasn't.
I wish. No, I don't know. I'm going to keep coming back to talk about Lou Reed.
Yeah. No, please. I mean, this is about songwriters. They're the tops.
I think once upon a time did not really like each other. There was kind of a, I don't know, the Velvets looked down on Dylan.
Early Lou Reed sounds like Dylan to me.
Very, very, very early Lou Reed. There's some recordings of him playing the harmonica.
Yeah.
And then I think Dylan got big and was like, okay, get rid of this harmonica thing.
But I think he was influenced by Dylan a little bit toward the beginning because it's just...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure everyone was.
Yeah.
In a way. And they're the two early songwriters who are really pushing from rock and roll into something else.
Yeah, exactly.
But Dylan comes from more of a folk background, whereas Reed came from more of a rock and roll background, I think.
And literature.
But anyway, someone told me, Madison Square Garden, Dylan's sitting there hearing Lou Reed sing one song, and he's like, that's a great song. I wish I wrote that song. And Lou heard that, and he told his assistant, like, go and buy me all of Dylan's records.
I want to know what I want to have written.
If only I knew what song it was, that would make a real good story.
Let me guess. I bet it was.
Maybe something from the New York album. Maybe it's...
Oh, shit.
Romeo and Juliet. I think it was something late. It was something 90s.
Okay, I was thinking Velvet.
It was 90s.
Stuff.
No, it was later.
Dirty Boulevard? I don't know.
Maybe.
Whatever. Sorry. I don't know. Why am I going down that road?
Where are your notes? I don't see. So you don't have any notes?
No, because I just kind of do this.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess the
I tried
notes are in the bottle.
I tried notes the first couple of times, and it sounded too professional, and I didn't like it.
Right.
I like doing things wrong.
Well, that's a good thing sometimes, doing things wrong. Yeah, so Sam Phillips, who, you know, produced Elvis Presley, is like, it's good with the mix. He's like, you want something in the mix to be too loud, to be wrong, but in just the right way, just the right amount of wrong.
Yeah,
like that.
I think the band I'm working with now have grasped onto that a little too much because they'll pick takes of mine where my voice breaks and it'll just make me cringe and
really
like, oh, I think I like that, and I'm like, all right, I'll live with it. Now I got to live with it. But I got, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, what do you pick? Because obviously when you're singing, the way they do it is you sing like three whole takes, then you go in and you pick and choose lines.
And it's so rare that my voice doesn't break and I sing well.
Right.
I want to use that every now and then.
But some lines have more character.
Yeah. Yeah, I trust. So. I don't give notes on myself.
Right.
Ever.
So you let other people comp the vocal. It's not really fun anyway. And it's all vanity.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Believe me, I know that. The ugliest vain guy ever. And right now I'm just talking about my voice. But
Well, it's exciting. You got this record finished.
Yeah, I'm. I was very excited and pleased. I was telling Britta that you guys kind of liked it.
We saw the band. We liked the band. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are really critical.
Yeah, I mean, if I didn't like it, I would just said nothing.
Yeah,
I would have been. But I really did. I liked. I thought the band sounded good and the songs are good. So,
thanks. I'll give you a free copy.
Thank you.
I've gotten a few free copies of your stuff, so I owe you. Do you even make CDs anymore?
Yeah, we still make. We still do some CDs. Some countries they buy CDs.
Really?
Like Japan, Germany, France, they still
buy some. Should I do CDs?
I don't know. Unless you're
no
going
one's
going to
buy my stuff anyway. I'm just going to give it away.
Well. You probably don't need to. I mean, because often with the CD companies, like the manufacturing places, it's like you got to do like 1,000, really. And then you're just going to be looking at 800 CDs.
I know they're
in
heavy.
Boxes.
But I would rather do that with LPs.
Yes. Do a run of LPs.
Yeah.
Or even, hey, I did a cassette a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really just, it's a cassette with a download card. But
right, yeah.
Because no one really wants
yeah,
the cassette.
Yeah, it's mostly a prop.
Yes, it just kind of looks nice. And here's, it's just something physical to sell. And cassettes are cheap. So I urge you, the cassette tape, people will love it.
I didn't even know they still made those.
You can find them. You can seek them out.
I just found a bunch of cassette tapes, and I don't even know what's on them, because my only cassette player
is... All cassettes that you made years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to just send them to Costco. You know, you can do that. You can send anything to Costco, and they'll digitize.
They'll digitize? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a box like that, like a box of old Galaxy 500 rehearsals. That
oh, my God.
To.
You're a millionaire.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Do you like releasing all that stuff? Like all
well,
the...
not if it's awful, and it might be.
See, I would do that because I like wrong decisions. And I like being humiliated.
Right. Well,
I mean, you know
I'm
how
pretty
much...
sure I have us doing Knocking on Heaven's Door, for example. We absolutely did that.
Because
it was easy.
Yeah, I've done Rockin' on Heaven's... not Rockin' on Heaven's
Door. No, Rockin' on Heaven's Door. That's the better one.
No, I've done Knocking on Heaven's Door just by, like, ripping it off and putting different lyrics in, as he did. But, but you love all those old Jonathan Richman shitty things. People are going to love that. To your fans.
Yeah. Well, we released some demo. I don't know about these live recordings.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. I got to go listen to that. I think I have a cassette player somewhere in the house. I got a Walkman.
Sometimes it's better to not even listen. Just release that shit.
Yeah.
Let somebody else do it.
Britta always records the Lunar rehearsals, and I'm just like, I don't want to listen to that. Or like the show.
She does it to learn?
She does. She will go and study them. And
or she's not bootlegging shit, is she?
No.
Yeah. Britta. She's money hungry, that woman. I just thought of this question.
How do you write a song?
I get excited when I think of questions. Is there a song of yours that you think is
good?
No. Is not you, but you just kind of wrote it and you like the song and you're kind of embarrassed when you sing it because it doesn't come from your heart?
Because
I have songs like that.
Certainly there are lyrics. I mean, there are songs. Like, because right now with Luna, we've been doing like a few album shows where we play a whole album. Like, we play a whole Bewitched album, which is our biggest seller. And some of that, I just go, I'm like, damn, I really should have worked harder on these. And I can't change them now. It's too late. But,
I mean, you
like,
could.
That's a really lazy rhyme. And I just can't believe...
Why can't you change them? I mean...
I guess I could. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan always does.
Yeah.
And if Jonathan does... It's
I prefer to just not do those songs if I think I'm...
But I also have songs where I feel like they don't even apply anymore. Like...
Yeah, to apply to
I
your life.
I love you.
Yes. I think I read that quote from...
I just want to be true to you.
Nick Cave, who I'm sure you'll have on the podcast soon.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Well, the interesting thing about a love song is that the love dies, but the song remains the
same.
Yeah,
if it's a good song, then I still don't mind singing it. But that really is a test of a good song.
Yes,
because I have a lot of songs where I'm like, I'm not going to sing this anymore. It was great when I was in love with that person, but now I'm not, and now I can really see that it's a shitty song.
I do understand that. Yeah, so I was also when I did a tour playing all Galaxy 500 songs, so songs I had written, in 1988, lyrics I'd written then about, you know, someone I was in love with then. So it was weird to relive those,
especially
songs
if it's like the names in it. It's like singing a tattoo or something.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
No names. There were no names.
Singing a Tattoo. Okay.
Singing a Tattoo.
That's your new song. I'm gonna tell you. You write that song. I think I gave Britta a title to write to. I'm sure she forgot it because she was drunk too.
That's a good.
I've forgotten.
That'd be a good country western song.
Yeah.
Singing your tattoo.
Yeah. Singing your tattoo.
Genius.
Yeah. Do you want to?
You
do
can
it?
Have it. You can have it.
Oh, thanks. I'll take it.
We'll both write Singing Your Tattoo songs.
That would be great if we both had the same title. That would be interesting.
I know what tattoo I'm going to use, too.
You don't have any tattoos.
No, I don't have any tattoos, but this friend of mine told me about a tattoo. It's of like the Twin Towers.
That is the worst tattoo ever.
No, you haven't even heard it yet.
I know, but anything with the Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers,
even if they're nice and birds are flying
around. They're on fire. They're on fire, right? They're burning. And Jar Jar Binks is underneath it, and he's looking up at the Twin Towers, and he says, "Misa never forgets."
Oh, Jesus. Obviously, it was after 9/11 that he got that. Wow, he's a really dumb guy. Really dumb guy. Because if you... Like, that would be cool if he got...
No, the idea
he'd be
was,
like Nostradamus.
The idea was the worst tattoo ever. So
So he's like me.
Yeah.
He likes the worst idea ever and applying that. So is he proud of it now?
You know what? I don't think this tattoo even exists.
Oh, shit. Okay, so it was just in his head.
Yeah.
Well, fuck him. He's a coward.
Yes.
Next time you see me, I'm going to have that tattoo. And it'll be on my arm. It'll be on my strumming arm, and I'll be singing that song.
Misa never forgets. It could be a very sad song.
Yeah.
And it's all from a tattoo that never existed.
I have a song called New York is Snowing that I wrote like in 92, 93. And Io was convinced that it was about 9/11. I'm like, sorry.
I'm like, sorry, I wrote it a bit before that.
Yeah.
New York is snowing dirty asbestos flakes.
You heard the song.
Yeah. Well, that happened.
I love it. This is the part of the... We always come to this part where we just we get too drunk.
But you know, I feel like I work harder on the lyrics now so that I don't have that embarrassment of being like, oh, I rhymed spoon with balloon. How could I? That was so terrible.
Is there a trick that you do with rhymes? Because like I realized if you do the bad rhyme first, like the more embarrassing word first, then you kind of get away with it.
Oh, all right, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's okay. We're allowed to rhyme. Serious poets don't. They don't rhyme anymore.
Oh, fuck! I love rhyming.
We're writing folk songs, right?
Yeah. Do you start with music usually?
Yes, I do.
Like, is there a theme or an idea first, or is it just...
No, there never is. It's always, it's kind of like two parallel things. There's always, you know, we're working on music with the band, and that's going in and jamming and playing music, and then starting to sing a melody line. That's easy.
Yeah.
I think. And then trying to...
For you.
For me, yeah. We're trying to, but then trying to take lyrics and squash them into a melody.
And
it's hard.
Do you ever come up with a melody?
It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Like, do you ever come up with Do the character of the words have to match the character of the melody? Or
they do have to match. Oh, I mean, the energy of the song, anyways. Yeah, sometimes you've written something like, oh, that's not going to work for this song.
Unless
all,
you're being
all.
Purposely ironic.
Right.
Like Elvis Costello will do with a sad song and make it sound happier or vice versa.
He's clever. He's written a lot of songs.
Yeah, that guy. Can't stop. Well, maybe he stopped now. But is he still going? I haven't.
Well,
he's like Woody Allen with me. I haven't kept up with him after a certain point.
I agree. I stopped about his sixth album. He's done a lot more, hasn't he?
My friend in high school, at the height of Elvis Costello, you know, this is like 87, 88. No, this is college, not high school. And he said he stopped. He was driving home, and it was like 2 in the morning, and he stopped at a stoplight and started thinking about all the songs, Elvis Costello, and he was high.
Right.
And a cop comes up to him. He's like, "You've been stopped for 8 red lights. I've been counting them. What is wrong with you?" And he's like, "Sorry, man. I was just thinking about Elvis Costello and how many songs he's written." And the cop is like, "All right, get moving.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, I give you a deal."
All right, I like Elvis Costello. But goddamn, that guy.
Yes, and he's good at, putting himself, I don't know, he's obviously studied it, putting himself in other situations. And
yeah.
Would you other characters and writing as other people. I tend not to do that.
Right. Would you guess that he wrote lyrics first or music?
Hmm.
I would guess
lyrics. Yes, that's probably the correct way to do it.
I don't know if there's a correct way. Don't be down on yourself.
Yeah.
But that's the way I do it.
Maybe it would be easier if you got the whole poem written out and then you just... Well, you know what? Traditionally, it's a two-man job.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So, you know, someone did the book. And...
Yeah. I have a friend, my friend Tom Bell, we used to write really well together. I would write the lyrics and have some kind of melody in my head that would invariably change either a lot or a little bit.
Right.
But he would always, I would sing it to him and he'd put it to music and some great shit came out.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, Elton John doesn't write lyrics, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just music, right?
Burt Bacharach, whatever. All these great people who are these great songwriters, but a lot of them actually didn't write a lot of words.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson often had
Dylan probably he's got to start with words, right?
Yeah, or he starts with someone else's song as well. I mean that's the folk tradition. And I think he gets a lot of heat for plagiarizing with it. But it's just like that's just like everybody does it. It's just that he gets caught all the time because he's got so many so many fans. But
yeah, because it is the tradition. It's like
it is the tradition. Yes, you know. I mean, Girl from the North Country. If you're going to North Country far, it's the same song as Scarborough Fair by Simon and Garfunkel. Are you going to Scarborough Fair? And they both came from the same source. They both
But I think Simon and Garfunkel at least gave credit to the
yes.
I think it says traditional.
Yeah.
In there.
But again, in the folk music world, it's kind of like what you can get away with if you can. You take an old song and then just put your name on it. You can get the royalty from your record company, and they don't mind you doing that. It's like that's kind of accepted that that's okay to do it. So
I wrote a song that I considered a double ripoff because I wanted to write a song like April Come She Will, you know, the Simon and Garfunkel song, and that was they took it from a poem and they put lyrics to it. So I took another poem and tried to put music to that,
right?
That lyrics, and it was just some
the same poem, a different poem.
No, a different poem, like "Born on Monday, full of grace. Born on Tuesday, blah, blah, blah."
Right?
You know, I saw that poem, and I'm like, I could do a April Come She Will with that. So I'm not only am I ripping off the poem, I'm ripping off Paul Simon's idea,
right,
to rip off a poem.
And no one will ever know, except that you just told everybody.
It just told 30 people.
But I didn't. Yeah, I guess some. I mean, Some of the songs I'm proudest of. I can look at them and be like, oh yeah, I stole this from here. And I stole
everyone I've talked to so far has said, yeah, I've stolen from that. Yeah.
I mean, I had this song that I did a couple years ago, Love is Colder Than Death, which started out, well, the title is from a Fassbinder movie. Mm. I just really like the title. It's not a great movie. It's one of his lesser films.
Yeah, but fuck, he's just handing out titles, I guess.
But it's a poetic title.
Yeah.
And then, but the chords, I was just working with these chords from an old Francois Hardy song, which I then kind of pushed in kind of a country direct. Anyway, just 10 mutations later, it doesn't sound anything like any of them.
Right,
it sounds like you, so.
Yeah, I'm so inept with music anyway that nothing is going to sound. I could say, yeah, this is Sounds of Silence, and it just sounds like a rooster cackling.
Exactly, by the time you're through with it.
Yeah.
It's like Jean-Luc Godard said somewhere, it's not where you take it from, it's where you take it to, you know, so.
He stole that line.
Yeah, he stole that line.
From Shakespeare.
Yeah.
More music.
So what's this podcast going to be called?
Sing-songers.
Okay.
Because I like bad ideas.
Sing-songers, that's good.
Yeah. I've told it to a few people, and they're like, well, what about song singers? That's what they are. And I'm like, no. I like bad titles.
That's my song, Tugboat,
by
Galaxy 500. That's another one that where I look at it, like, that's probably the most covered song by that band. And I look at it, I'm like, song-wise, it's only got a couple of lyrics that just repeat over and over again, but...
Somehow
it works.
But it's the way you sing it too, and it's like
it's on the performance, and it's in the band's performance, and that's what makes it. But it wouldn't get into some book to teach you about songwriting.
My most covered song. Can you believe I have a most covered song?
Yes. What is it?
Close Face.
And who did that? Who else has done that?
Well, no one famous, but a lot of kids on the internet have done it.
Really?
Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yes.
You've heard it, but you don't remember it. Is there a pick-a-room?
Yeah. Yep.
But I've heard some really bad versions, but some really good versions too. But it is like so flattering when you're no one.
Yes, that's true.
It's like, get that. But it does this thing. This was before I really knew how to write songs. So I kind of inadvertently, I think, changed keys in the middle of it. A blurry girl at the end of my nose. Her name is Close Face, and when she backs away, I don't know where she goes. That crazy Close Face, she's really different, but she's kinda like you. But her eyes are bigger, and there's not always two. When I lay in bed, she appears out of nowhere. If it ever was that Close Face, I would be so scared. So here it goes. Or if she got a little smaller and a little more in focus, she'd have to legally change her name and there would be no kiss. Close Face, we kinda need Close Face. Close Face, oops, only Close Face. And now it's kind of in a different key, right? There's a dirty girl.
Somewhere you changed it. Me.
Yeah.
That's a pro trick, and you didn't even know it.
I was, like, tricky, yeah. But now I'm trying to do it in, like, other songs.
Well, I can see why that's your most covered song. That's a,
it's pretty
it's fun. It's a clever lyric.
I wrote it about an ex-girlfriend, and then we broke up, and I'm like, I can't waste this song. So I put it in a show, and there you have it.
I remember some big record executive told me one time that some songs are what he calls connecting songs. I feel like that they have a lyric that like people can really connect, that a lot of people can connect with or identify.
Yeah,
he was talking about Joan Osborne's What If God Was One of Us?
Oh, right.
A song which she reportedly loathed.
I kind of loathe it, too.
Yeah, she hated it. She's like, why do I got to do this song? Those I want to be a blues singer. And she didn't even, I think she didn't even write
it. It's kind of inane, too. I mean,
yes, it is. But I can see why people are like, oh, that's an interesting idea.
Well, there's
What If God Was One of Us, just a stranger.
There's two
the
songs
bus.
Like that. That one and XTC's Dear God. They're a little, you know. I do like Dear God, but I kind of roll my eyes at it a little
right.
bit too.
Yeah.
And they kind
but
of
you
like,
remember it.
They just shoved that on that album too. And it was like a Todd Rundgren produced like seamless album. And then this song became a hit and they just shoved it in there.
Did they like it?
I don't think Todd Rundgren liked it.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's actually a beautiful, like, Skylarking is a beautiful album.
Right.
Do you like XTC at all?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I like them more than they were punk, I guess. Before. I didn't really follow them into their psychedelic phase as much. As
yeah. But
I
so
like Battery Bride and that kind of, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, their early shit is great. And Dukes of Stratosphere, you know, all that stuff. When...
Oh, that's the psych stuff.
Yeah. But then I went and I seeked out the original version of this record because I wanted the pure Todd Rundgren experience, and I heard it, and I'm like, eh, I want Dear God in there.
Oh, so it's
I'm
not
used to it.
It's not on the original album. It's just on the CD maybe or something?
It's on, no, they it's on the second pressing or something
oh,
like
see.
That.
Oh, I
see. Yeah.
Because it was doing well. They're like, we've got to put this
on the
album.
It was a single, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember when we were at Elektra again, handing the record in the A&R person, well, the new A&R person we've been assigned, she said, you know, it's the song that you hate the most that's going to be the single.
Yeah.
She had been in a band herself. She's like, it's the one that you really don't like.
It's true.
And she's like, so ask yourself, why'd you put it on the record then? Why'd you give it to us if you don't, not so sure you like it? And now we're like, that should be the single.
Well, because you want to be liked.
Because you need 10 songs. You gotta fill it out.
I have too many songs, and I'm putting songs I don't like on this record.
Really? That's a good problem to have.
Only because everyone likes this one song, and I'm not going to say which one it is.
Is it Close Face?
No, it isn't. It's My Camera. It's pretty much I'll Be Your Mirror.
Okay.
I'll Be Your Camera
right.
and show you who you are. And that's kind of the reason I don't like it, because I was like, oh, I inadvertently ripped off the Velvet Underground.
Just
it doesn't sound
tell
like
anybody on
I
the podcast.
I can't shut up. Do you like?
No one will know where it came from. Well, one person. There's always some person. Some person figures it out. Some person's like, I think you stole this from that poem. I'm like, how did you read that poem?
Do you know that
you know?
XTC? Do you know that XTC song, Mayor of Simpleton?
No. Play it for me.
I no, can't. Yeah, I don't know. I only know my own songs.
Yes, me too.
But it's just about how, yeah, you're smart and everything, but I'm the mayor of Simpleton. I don't care. And it's pretty much that song, Don't Know Much About History.
Right.
It's exactly that, only it's got a different feel to it. Yeah, Sam Cooke.
Right.
What's, is that called Wonderful World?
Or? Yeah. Yeah. The James Taylor had
yeah.
a hit with.
And I'm sure he just ripped off, but who cares? Because it's a great song in its own right, and it's completely different in feel. Which brings me to another subject, like getting sued for ripping off, like George Harrison with My Sweet Lord.
Yeah.
That song does not sound anything like...
He's So Fine?
He's So Fine. I mean, yeah, that chorus... But it's such a different feel. Both songs are such a different feel.
Did you discuss this with Britta too?
No, I didn't.
Oh, because we were married by the judge who was
oh,
the
really?
Judge in that case.
Oh my God!
Who ruled against George Harrison?
Wow!
Who fancied himself an opera buff? My dad knew him. And anyway.
Yeah.
I guess he was there in the court. He was like, "Well, sing me what's the second theme in the
See,
song?"
See, you can't you... just sing it. You've got to hear
like,
the whole song.
It's like, but it's like you don't understand. This is folk again. This is folk or rock and roll. And it's just like this is just what we do, and we're allowed to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it was the wrong decision.
I feel like that gave George Harrison cancer. that and Paul McCartney gave him cancer.
Well, the judge has passed along too now.
Did he talk about that?
He told me that story of being in the courtroom talking to the
So he didn't say, I kind of wanted to be famous. Give him a little shit.
But, you know,
I was never a Beatle.
It's a big hit. I think there are a few songs like of mine that probably, if they'd been big hits, then it's like people might have come and sued me, like, oh, but there's not, what's the point in suing me if I'm only selling like 20,000 records?
Right, right.
But if you're selling millions,
right,
like Sam Smith did last
year.
Well,
goddammit, that song he ripped. I mean, I don't think he consciously ripped it off, but that one is pretty obvious.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I think it's, I mean, no more so than He's So Fine, My Sweet Lord. It's just like, it's just three notes.
No, it was more than that. It was a whole chorus.
Hmm.
I mean, it was like a full minute of ripping off.
Well, the jury agreed with you.
Yeah.
No, there was no jury. They settled out of court.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't go to court. I think it was just some publishers saying, hey.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Petty could probably be.
The other is,
he could probably be Petty.
Yeah.
I'm sure that joke, was used.
I've never heard it.
Yeah, I didn't either. Jesus.
He's a petty man.
I can't believe he did a song with Johnny Cash and they never billed themselves as Petty Cash. That's the one.
The other funny one is the Ruttles, or the whole Ruttles catalog. Now all those songs say like Lennon McCartney in it.
Oh, so fuck, like, you're right.
Like,
yeah.
The publishers, it's the same parent company, I think it's like Sony ATV Publishing. They were like, I guess from what I hear, McCartney was not amused by the whole Ruttles thing. So and those songs, which they all sound like a parody of a Beatles song, but still I think if they had the money to defend themselves in court, they would say no. Ouch is that, not the same as
that. That explains a lot because, you know, I met Eric Idle.
Right.
And he got mad at me because I asked him about Nia Linnis.
Right.
Who I love. I love his music. And he said, oh, no, I don't talk to him anymore. He's kind of an asshole. And I said, oh, well, that's fitting because he played John Lennon and you're Paul McCartney. And he's like, don't call me Paul McCartney. He got really... I'm like, but you played Paul McCartney. It's like, no one should be called Paul McCartney. That's an insult.
That's
we got
very
a big
funny.
Fight. We're doing coke all night.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't know if he was. I certainly was.
Yes. Okay. That's a good correction right there. This is people listening to this.
Yeah.
But how much money? I don't know. How much money do these people need? That's the thing. It's like, why do you need credit for the Ruttles songs too?
Well, wasn't Michael Jackson making all the Beatles money for a while?
Yeah, I guess he owned the catalog.
And then now I think it's Sony that owns
it. Yeah, Sony ATV is the big. Swallowed up a lot of.
Because we're doing a movie about Michael Jackson.
What?
Yeah, it's called Bubbles, and it's a stop motion movie about Michael Jackson's life through the eyes of his chimp.
You acquired the rights to the chimp's memoir? Or,
well, to the man who
just
wrote
legally,
the Chimps.
I'm wondering how you get it. Can anyone tell the Bubbles story?
Well, you know, we I mean, it's public.
Right, okay.
It's public knowledge. We can't use Michael Jackson's songs, but it's all through the chimp's ears too. So, you know, we'll get somebody like The Weeknd and.
Well, I hope it's respectful.
It will be. It's actually a beautiful, beautiful story.
So the script is done?
It's a heartbreaking story. And it does not make fun of Michael Jackson at all.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah, the script is done. This guy who lives in, like, Portland or Washington or something like that wrote it. Taika, I forget his last name, Waititi or something like that. He directed. This all comes around. He's from your part of
the New
neck
Zealand?
Of the woods. Yeah, we're both just really drunk.
I wonder what he directed.
He directed What We Do in the Shadows, and Thor, the new Thor that hasn't come out yet, and he's really great and funny. And he directed the Wilderbeast movie that I just saw.
Huh. Yeah. And how did you know him then?
We didn't. I mean, show business.
Show business.
We ran into him and I'm like, you in show business? And he said, yeah, you in show business? I'm like, yeah. It's like, okay, I'll do your movie. That was a pretty good New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
I'll do your movie. I'll do your movie.
I'll do your movie.
They like short I sounds. You guys.
I don't know. I don't really have.
You haven't been there.
I've been back, yes. The accent and the accent. I can report the accents have gotten a lot thicker over the last 30 years.
Or has yours gotten less?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they get thicker over time, and I do, actually. I think like a generational.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel the same way about...
listen to like Valley speak here, compared to now.
Well, definitely Chicago, I feel like every time I go back, it's like, yeah. My friends are all like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sausage and... I'm like, did you really sound
did
like
you that? Always talk like that?
Yeah. But, all right, we did 66 minutes.
66 minutes.
This is, I'm a real clock watcher with these things.
Thank you for the maker's mark, because I think that helped.
Yeah. No, this was fun.
You know what? You know what other people would do would be like, you know, we're going to cut away now and play like a 10-minute song.
No. I like to keep all the slow moments in and everything. Mm. We're real people. We're not always interesting.
Okay.
But this was a good one.
Good point.
This is
thank
great.
You for having me.
Thanks. Dean, I don't think I even said your name.
Dean Wareham.
Dean Wareham. God damn
it'll
it.
It'll be written on the podcast. It'll say it'll say right on the title.
I'm so bad at doing these. It's ridiculous.
Just, you can say it now.
I didn't even say welcome to Sing Songers.
No. Should we do that now?
Let's do that. But let's keep it at the end. Hi, Dean. I'm here with Dean Wareham. Welcome to Sing Songers, Dean.
Thanks a lot.
Dean's been in some very great bands, Galaxy 500 and Luna, and you were in Gem and the Argonauts.
Yes, I was.
Oh, no, that was Britta.
That's my wife.
And it was Holograms.
We were in Dean and Britta. That was our other band.
Oh, yeah, Dean and Britta.
We had a band called Dean and Britta. My son said, that's the worst band name ever.
Well, it's your names.
Yes.
God damn him.
I'll get him. I'll
well,
him
he
back.
Likes debating.
Yeah.
And then you guys both did solo. Britta was saying that you did a solo, and she said, I want to do a solo now. Solo album.
Yeah, my friend said to me, my friend in Australia, he's like, how do you... He's like, you've made a couple albums with Dean and Britta. How do you bring that subject up of like, I'm going to make a solo album now?
And you say easy. Britta's on the solo album too.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
That's true.
All right. Thanks, goddammit.
Thank you. Feral Audio.